the scientist and a Christian, because arguably Christianity gave me my subject. What I am amazed at is that serious thinkers today continue to ask us to choose between God and science. That's like asking people to choose between Henry Ford and engineering as an explanation of the motor car.
So good.
When Newton discovered his law of gravity.
What's the easiest way to generate content? Don't. You just take other people's content and maybe alter it a little bit if you absolutely have to. This works for streamers like XQC and Asmongold and tons of others. And what are the most surefire ways to make viral content? One, stoke moral panic and outrage, and two, further a pre-existing us versus them narrative. Those might even be the same thing, honestly.
Because, like,
it has nothing to do with Islam.
No,
and it has nothing to do with culture in general.
Now, what if you found a way to combine those strategies while also escaping legal and moral accountability? Well, then you'd be a Christian ministry like YouTubers Daily Dose of Wisdom, Jaden Forrest, Nick Jones, and lots of others. From what I can tell, these are some of the most popular Christian YouTubers there are right now. Oxford mathematician destroys atheism, 15-minute brilliancy, 7.1 million views. Atheist asks tough questions, epic response, debate, 1.8 million views.
Atheist comedian turns to God after hearing fees, five words. That sounds like a BuzzFeed article, doesn't it?
It does. Also, there's five words there in the thumbnail. Was it whoa, that's in the Bible? let's watch and find out. Neuroscientist explains why he believes in God, how prayer works. 1.6 million views.
Oh my gosh.
There are things science can't explain.
And also the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Yeah, there are things science can't explain, like the mitochondria. They might try, and they might have done it, but they can't explain it.
This channel in particular definitely likes the Humboldt bit. Like, Jordan Peterson humbly destroys Muslim about God.
Oh, yeah.
And right, 3 million views, 2.9 million views, 2.6 million views.
Oh
my gosh.
We're in the wrong niche here.
I'm seriously.
What you expect from titles like this is what you get in these videos. A Christian and a non-Christian talk or argue, and the Christian is at least framed as coming out on top.
Rachel, think about this. If God exists, if he does, and if the story of Jesus is true, isn't that the greatest news in history?
Oh, not for those going to hell.
Nobody has to go. That's the whole point.
Well, if they're not convinced that what they're reading in the Bible is true.
I said, if it was true, isn't it great news?
I guess. Yeah, great. We get to spend eternity.
We got him. We got him again. Mark that down as another one for Jesus, lads. To be fair, it's not always an argument like this that gets a lot of views for these channels. Sometimes it's a sermon full of anti-gay rhetoric and misinformation about LGBT people, like abuse is what makes you gay and Jesus can fix you.
But going through that trauma ultimately shaped her in her teenage years and in her adult years. And when you truly submit and give your life to God, he'll transform and he'll work out everything.
What you also get from these videos is a guy sitting in the corner, silently nodding his head as the video you actually came to watch plays.
As an explanation of the motor car.
So good.
When Newton discovered his law of gravity.
My friend Eric Murphy, host of Skeptic Generation here on YouTube, helped me kind of audit some of these channels, and we found some interesting trends. Eric, by the way, is my editor for certain videos, including this one. But before we get into what we found, let me ask you, do you know just how many Christian ideas about demons, exorcism, Satan, and the Antichrist actually come from movies? Yeah, three classic horror movies, that's Rosemary's Baby, The Exorcist, and The Omen, might be the most religiously influential films of all time, and most people, religious or not, don't realize that. But you're not like most people. You know stuff, and you want to learn more stuff. So come learn about the religious impact of classic horror films from religion scholar Dr. Joseph Laycock. You've probably seen him on this channel a bunch of times before. On November 10th, he's giving an online talk about The Omen, the classic film about the birth of the Antichrist, and how it sent shockwaves through American religion and culture. You can sign up through the link in the description and pinned comment. We don't want to price anyone out here, so you can pay whatever you want to attend, as little as a dollar. And if you can't attend live, no problem. I'll send the recording of the lecture and Q&A to everyone who signs up. However you watch the lecture, I recommend you watch the original Omen film from 1976 beforehand.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
By signing up, you won't just get a lecture and Q&A, but you'll also get an exclusive discount on the Unholy Trilogy lecture series, a course on all three films in the Unholy Trilogy of classic horror cinema, taught by Dr. Joseph Laycock.
Castle says he got 50 death threats a day after this film came out, and he wrote them down for us. We've got a bastard, believer in witchcraft, worshiper at the shrine of Satanism. My prediction is you will slowly rot during a long and painful illness, which you have brought upon yourself.
It does sound like the comments on our videos together.
Yeah, yeah, if you're looking for a modern comparison, yeah.
Thanks for signing up, everyone. I'll see you on November 10th. Now on to what Eric and I discovered about Christian content.
So Eric, I gave you a bit of an assignment to look over some of these channels while I look over some others. Can you let me know what you have found over the last couple of days as you've been consuming this stuff?
How dare you, Drew? I just want to start with that. You never give me fun homework. Yeah, I'll show you. Honestly, because I do video production, I just loaded it all into a Premiere file. So I'm just going to share that with you. And let's just get right on some William Lane Craig. This is Jaden Forrest. And the way I kind of broke this down is you can see kind of red and green bars. And so the red bar is just him watching someone else's content. You know, if I hit play here, you'll see.
Son of the Blessed One, that is the Son of God. And Jesus says, I am. And then virtually quoting from Dan.
Right. So you have Jaden sitting here and he's just kind of watching. These green sections are him talking. So it is him, his original content. So in this case, it's him setting up the video that's going to be watched.
So at this point in Ben Shapiro's life, he holds that Jesus, he's not a great teacher or a prophet, but that he is a mere common criminal.
Right. So you have content that he's just watching, him talking, content that he's just watching, him talking, moving forward, huge section of just watching somebody else's content, and then wrapping up on him.
Wow. So maybe about a third of the video is his input and two thirds are somebody else's. And the majority of his seems to be an intro, a little bit of commentary, and then kind of an outro summary. Would that be right? We saw this formula again and again in other videos from other Christian channels. And then again and again and again and again. And again, okay, you get it. And a lot of the commentary we did see in these videos was basically, wow, good point. I'm also a Christian. I agree. Something that Brandon likes to do, which I guess counts as commentary, is this. I quite enjoy it.
Of high-powered scientists utter it.
That might be worth rewinding in case you missed it the first time. That is such a good point.
Most of these creators like to front load their video with others' content and put their commentary at the very end, when most people have probably clicked off already.
This entire video is somebody else's up until the very end. So if you were watching this, you would have no idea that you were watching Aspiring Christian, or you would think that this is Aspiring Christian until this end piece.
Sometimes entire videos and channels have no content creator in them at all.
Hitting critique of Islam that leaves the Muslim audience in silence.
It's AI. Is it AI? That sounds like an AI voice.
I think so. I personally think it's AI.
Still, these channels are happy to literally rebrand others' content as their own.
We're just showing this clip of David Wood, and what do we get?
Poisoning him. Open and shut case, right? Wrong. All right, I've gone
completely useless logo animation.
Not only that, but he's literally putting his logo on somebody else's video, and that's it. That there is no, it's just, it, that is just the logo animation.
Wow. At times, these creators know and care so little about who they're poaching content from that things like this happens. This is what Pastor Daniel calls this apologist.
An apologist, Kevin Hovind, with this question, convinced he has him cornered.
He takes this guy's content to the tune of 484,000 views, and he still calls him Kevin rather than his actual name.
Hi, Kevin.
And sometimes they... Just watch this clip.
Are those the same title, by the way?
Which one?
Oxford Mathematician Destroys Atheism. 15-minute brilliancy versus yeah. Oxford Mathematician Destroys Atheism.
Yeah,
in you can less see than 15 million minutes brilliant.
Right. You can see that this video is not only majority stolen content, the concept of the video itself, even the idea of stealing it, is stolen. Given the formula these channels use, given the titles, the thumbnails, the audience is clearly there to watch the actual content these channels are ripping off. Here's a comment on one of Daily Dose of Wisdom's most popular videos. I love your style of commentary. You allow the video to play without too much or any interruption to give us viewers time to grasp the context, and then you provide final comments afterward to wrap it up cohesively. Daily Dose of Wisdom has hearted this. If you look at the conversation beneath this comment, you see people saying that it seems lazy, and this person saying, in quotes, without too much interruption. Wow. Wow. Which is essentially a summary of what they have just watched Daily Dose of Wisdom do. Another comment on Daily Dose of Wisdom. Thank you for not talking and commenting through the clip. I appreciate your input at the end due to your restraint during the clip. I actually listened to your views on it. On this video of Nick Jones reacting to Jackie Hill Perry saying that trauma makes you gay, the top comment here is about someone unfortunately saying that trauma turned them gay. That's the way that they see it.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what led me to click on this person's name, but you can see some of their comment history, and you see, Nick, just show the video, please. Roll the video. Unsubscribe because you talk too much. But Drew, these guys do say something in their videos usually. You can't ignore that. You're right, you're right. Most of these guys do technically speak in these videos. And like I said, it's nearly always reiterating something the Christian in the video they're watching said, or parroting a low-effort Christian cliche.
And I want to strongly emphasize that God is not a theory, he's a person. And so I don't simply believe there is a God. I've come to know him and trust him.
When Christians talk about God, it is personal. It's not fantasy. It's not the spaghetti monster in the sky. There is a reality of God when you have accepted him on his terms that is completely undeniable. It is as undeniable as my relationship with my wife in the other room. There's this conceit and this arrogance that actually gets directly in the way of the knowing of God and the relationship of God. And so I just love what Linux says here.
If you removed the host of these videos altogether, the videos would have the exact same appeal to the exact same audience and only a slightly different runtime. Just to have some fun with this one, I actually mathematically just calculated what percentage of this, Brandon's most popular video with 7.1 million views, has of him actually speaking. And the number that I got was 15.5%. 15.5% of this video is original content, or at least of Brandon himself, the content creator, speaking. Now, I'm not here to argue about the legality of this content, but I am here to say that this is a form of content farming. It's extremely low-effort content with no original substance, which, at best, borders on outright theft. There's been a lot of public discourse about this kind of thing in the last couple of years, and I think the consensus for why content theft continues to work is that it happens too fast for platforms and creators to actually stop it, and most viewers just aren't conscientious enough about their media consumption to care if what they're watching is stolen. you'd think this might be different in the Christian content space because Christians are supposed to hold themselves to a higher moral standard, and stealing is explicitly banned by the two rocks they hang up in all the Louisiana public school classrooms. And you'd be right. I think things are different for Christian content creators, in that they're actually more capable of getting away with this than most. Let's go down the list for why this is. One, most of the content that these channels repurpose comes from celebrity Christian apologists like Frank Turek, Cliff Konecki, Jackie Hill Perry, John Lennox, Stephen Meyer, and the like. These people have a significant YouTube presence, but that's not how they make their living. They write books for Christian publishers, do speaking engagements, sell courses, and run large, sometimes international ministries with huge donor bases. They don't need to make money off of their YouTube content. They're already wealthy. This is just advertising for them, which means more book sales and donors for their own brands. Two, Christian apologists are ideologically inclined to be okay with other Christians copying or imitating them to a certain degree. They have a mission to convert as many people as possible, and if reusing their intellectual property helps that, then fine. I mean, Frank Turek has worked directly with Daily Dose of Wisdom, so obviously he's cool with it. And other apologists who definitely don't steal content, like Inspiring Philosophy, seem to be like, yeah, sure, I'll collab with a content thief if they're Christian. That's fine. Three, theologically conservative Christian content does not need to be original or novel to begin with. The point of this content is to reinforce a Christian viewer's previously held beliefs or have the non-Christian viewer conform to the pre-approved template of how a Christian is allowed to think. In a culture where conformity is not just expected, but demanded, an audience wants you to regurgitate something they've seen or heard before. The fact is, for just about any philosophical, theological, social, or political issue, there already exists a set of formulaic arguments and cliché talking points which more conservative Christians have used for years, decades, or even centuries. A Christian apologist's job is not to come up with anything new, but to spread old ideas through new and popular mediums. Frank Turek himself got his doctorate in ministry from a seminary which is kind of a cloning factory for another Christian nationalist apologist named Norman Geisler. Many of Frank's most popular sayings, like,
"We are trying to legislate morality, and that's what all laws do,"
are just direct quotes of Norman Geisler. This is an industry of imitation, where originality is literally heresy, and plagiarism is expected.
You know, I think that you and I would say that if this is not legally a crime, it's like artistically a crime, right? But is this essentially a victimless crime because they're stealing content from people who don't need to make money off the content in the first place?
If we're not talking legally, the biggest crime is that this is the kind of crap that your aunt sends you on Facebook without thinking about it. This is entirely mindless. This is... The crime is what's being inflicted on the friends and family of the people who watch this.
Yeah.
That's what I
yeah.
Think.
Yeah. I would add to that and say that this sets an expectation for a lot of younger people who might be watching this, a lot of like teenagers who might be watching this, that this is what intellectual content looks like. This is what academic content looks like. And this is what a good content creator looks like. Four, this content deals in cosmic level narratives of conflict. It takes videos where believers and non-believers disagree about something and markets those as grand, emotive conflicts with stakes that literally cannot be higher. A non-believer doesn't disagree in these videos. They attack. A Christian doesn't make a point. They humble their opposition into silence. When an audience is primed to think according to this narrative framework, they're inclined to see criticism like mine as an attack on Christians for spreading the gospel, not criticism of content creators for profiting off of other people's work and intellectual property, calling that ministry, and probably doing it all tax-free. Now, here's another factor. You and I have done full-time content creation in a few different ways for years now.
Years. Yeah.
And we've never started a nonprofit in order to not pay taxes on what we're doing. I think that you and I would while we do think that we have, you know, like a noble mission statement with the type of content we make, we probably think highly of the stuff that we make or we wouldn't make it. We also wouldn't not pay taxes on it because we think that it's something akin to like a spiritual or, you know, religious service. Now, with these content creators, I can't find the information to check whether or not these are nonprofits. But I know that, for example, you know, Capturing Christianity is a nonprofit. He makes his own original content. While I don't like the content, the fact that he makes his own original content is, you know, that is it sets him apart from these guys. But yeah, he is a six-figure nonprofit, you know, doing something or somewhere around $200,000 a year at minimum that I can that I've found online. And I think that Daily Dose of Wisdom is almost definitely 5-6 times the size of anything that Capturing Christianity could ever really aspire to views wise. So I have to think that it's quite possible that Daily Dose of Wisdom is essentially regurgitating other people's content and then has a nonprofit to where he doesn't pay taxes on what he makes. And as long as he makes enough in donations on the back end, about a third is usually what you have to make to keep a nonprofit going, then he can essentially keep his nonprofit going and not pay taxes on his hustle. He can steal, and then because it's a religious organization, not pay taxes. These creators could, I think, easily defend themselves against everything I've said here by saying something like, "This atheist is trying to destroy my ministry and lead people away from God. Don't listen to his lies. Join me in praying for him." So, for all these reasons, I think the Christian apologetics genre is the perfect place for low-effort content mills like this to not only thrive, but rise to the very top of the space. This is concerning to me, and I think it should be especially concerning to Christians. If the formula for success in the online Christian content world is a combination of stealing, stoking outrage, and using Christian cliches as a shield from criticism, the stage is set for morally flexible grifters, not Christians with genuine moral convictions, to take over. Of course, we all know this has already happened in the Christian world when it comes to televangelists, plenty of radio hosts, megachurch pastors, so why wouldn't it be the same with online content? As far as I'm concerned, a world where a decidedly un-Christ-like ethos lies behind the most popular Christian content online is inevitable, if not already here. But before I sign off here, I do want to reiterate, this is not a problem unique to the Christian world. The earliest forms of content theft as a genre on YouTube that I'm aware of is actually compilations of the new atheist guys criticizing or belittling religious people. This is actually where the meme of destroying with facts and logic comes from. This kind of content and its marketing really cultivated an attitude in a lot of young atheist minds at the time that people who think about religion like I do are smart. People who think differently about religion are stupid. Shutting them down and establishing our superiority is a good and noble thing. Later, Ben Shapiro adapted this marketing for his own brand of conservative religious supremacy, and it, not so surprisingly, enticed plenty of disillusioned young white male atheists to trade one form of reactionary identity politics for another. Thus began one part of the skeptic to alt-right pipeline, which still exists today. And it all started with inflammatory marketing of stolen videos of conversations about religion. So yeah, this is not a uniquely Christian problem. If anything, my point here is that Christians should take this problem in their own communities seriously because it has done bad things to other groups, including mine. And believe it or not, this atheist does not want bad things for Christians. Thanks for watching. Eric and I went pretty in-depth in our audit of Christian YouTube and recorded another entire video about it, which you can watch now on my Patreon.
What the hell is that?
What the hell is
that? I didn't even see this one. This Lucifer interview will send chills down your spine. 2 million views.
It might accomplish that. I feel bad that I actually want to watch this now. Did you guys know that I upload exclusive videos on there all the time? I guess I don't really advertise that, but yeah, I do. There you can find exclusive content I've made with Eric Murphy, Dan McClellan, Joseph Laycock, and James McGrath. I've even posted my very new, and until I guess this moment, Hush Hush second channel there. I'm also producing religious studies courses regularly now, and if you want those, there's a new tier on my Patreon where you can get them. Space is limited on that one though, so check it out before it's gone. With that, thank you to all my patrons. You guys really do show me constant love and support. Remember to sign up to Dr. Joseph Laycock's lecture on the Omen on November 10th. If you want to hear more from me, then subscribe. As always, if you are an apostate in need, there are resources linked in the description to help you find community and mental health support. Remember to be kind to others in the comments, and until next time, make your own original content, please, and stay skeptical.